Okay. Hello everyone, I'm Matthias. In this presentation, I'm going to talk about some bugs that I found in some Virtio implementations that they were at the end violation of the specifications. So I was starting to research these sort of bugs and trying to find out some automatic methods to try to find these violations of the specification. So I'm going to talk about this method, but this is work in progress, so don't expect any, expect more questions than answers, I will say. I present this also in LPC last year, so this is a great presentation on this. So first, I would like to introduce myself. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat, and I enjoy working on operating systems and virtualization, and also trying to figure out how I can use Foreman methods to improve the way that we code. I also participate in the Virtio comment mailing list, reviewing patches to the spec, and as a reviewer, as a co-chair too, so I have other tasks too. This is my GitHub repository if you want to check part of my work. So I think you are more or less familiar with the Virtio specification, so I will just briefly introduce this just for those that they don't know it. Well, the Virtio specifications contains the specifications of drivers and devices that are mostly used in virtualization. So in general, the devices are implemented in the virtual machine monitor, and they are meant to emulate a physical device. On the other hand, the drivers are implemented in the operating system when the operating system is deploying as a virtual machine. So what we have now is different implementation of the drivers, like depending on the operating system. And then, for example, Linux, Windows, and so on. And then we have different implementation of the devices depending on the virtual machine monitors. So for example, in Firecracker, in Kimu, in RasmiMN, libkeran, each of them implement their own version of the devices. In particular, in this presentation, I'm going to focus to the RasmiMN project. So I will give a brief introduction about how these devices, Virtio devices, are implemented in the RasmiMN. So these are what we call vHost user devices. And the implementation is mainly split into two components, let's say. We have the front end that is implemented in Kimu, and we have the back end that is implemented in another process, like, for example, in this case, in the RasmiMN project under the vHost user crate. And these two components talk to each other using the vHost user protocol, which relies on the Unix socket domain. So just to have a more concrete idea about this particular implementation. So for example, when we have a driver and then the driver is going to trigger the get feature command, for example, this is going to the front end and it's going to be translated to a message, like for example, the vHost get feature message, and then it's going to be get by the backend. This is using what I highlight in red is using unit socket, and this is the control path, let's say, in red, that is not only used for the message but also the front end at some point is going to share a file descriptor that then is used by the back end, which is now in blue, to map some version of the guest memory and then access to the beer queues, for example. So we have two paths, the control path and the data path. Just to have an idea about the devices that I'm going to talk later in the presentation. So coming back to the specification, as I said before, we have different implementations with different technologies, but all have to conform to the Virtio specification. Not conforming to the specification can or cannot, or may or may not, lead to a bug, right? So the idea of the presentation is to talk about two particular bugs that the first one we found in the last year when we implemented some Virtio sound device. And the other one is a bug that was found from a colleague, but it's also interesting to talk, I think. So you have the discussions in the mailing list there about those bugs. So I'm going to give you a brief description of what happened. The first one is regarding the virtual sound driver. I will try to explain the picture. We have three components here. We have the driver, and in the other side, we have the device. For example, a Raspberry MM device. And what I did in the middle was a transmission cue. So for example, if the driver wants to play back some sound in the host, it's going to send data to the device, and the device is going to play that, right? So the way that is done for the virtual sound device is we have a transmission cue, which the driver puts data, and then the device get it. So if we see how it is done, how was done at that moment before we fixed the problem, is that we have this function, the virtual send PCN message send, that is going to put buffers in the available ring of the transmission queue. And then the device at some point is going to consume that data, so it's going to play something in the host, like music or something like this, and then it's going to put the buffer in the user ring once has been consumed it, right? And what was weird in this particular driver was that when the device has consumed the buffer, this will trigger an interruption, and then the driver is going to immediately move the buffer from the user ring to the available ring. And this is done by the virtual sound PCN message complete function. This is how the driver was working at that time. If we see in more details how these buffers are made, well, the driver creates an MMAP region that it shares with the user. This is split in smaller buffers. And then it uses these buffers to fill the descriptor ring. And then it uses the available ring to expose those buffers to the device that is going to be consumed. In this picture in particular, we can imagine that the device at this moment is consuming the buffer number 0. Just to illustrate. And one thing that I forgot to mention was that when the user application wants to know where can write some data, it's going to trigger the virtual sound PCM pointer IOCTLs to get exactly where to write the next chunk that's going to be reproduced. But the problem that we found was that, well, in this picture now, it's like the continuation of the previous picture. I mentioned that before we have the device consuming the buffer number 0. And then in the next step, it's consuming the buffer number 1. We can think like this. But then at some point, the user is going to query this position, and it's going to start to fill again the buffer number 0 to put some data. But the problem was that at this point, the buffer was already in the available ring. And means that it was already exposed to the device. What we know from the specification is that in the moment that the buffer is exposed to the device, the device could take it at any moment. And this is what happened before. When we were building the device, we were reading the data immediately when the data was exposed. And what happened is that if you read in that moment, you're going to get all data, because at that point the user didn't write yet this, but it has been already exposed. So this is a violation of this. Well, we found that this is a violation of the specification, and we fixed it actually. So if we see the traces to try to identify what was going on, this is a made-up trace, so you're not going to find these sort of traces. I did it myself. So what you see here is that we see the driver putting buffers in the variable ring, and then at some point, the user query some position and start to fill the buffer number 1, for example, and then at some point, the device consumes it. What I try to illustrate in this trace is that this behavior, this sequence, is not valid in the sense that once the buffer, like the number 1, is exposed to the device, you cannot write it. So this is wrong. I mean, and what made me think is that if I could identify the sequence that is violating the specification, I could early know that something wrong was going on. I don't have water. So the second bug that I want to talk about is about the BIHOS user crate, in which there is also a violation of the specification. Well, in this case, what we find out was that when the BIBTIFS driver was initiated, for example, after the driver OK command, it's going to enqueue request to the BIR queue, right? Just immediately after the driver OK command. The driver OK command is part of the initialization of the device. So it happened at the end, and after that, the specification tells us that you can start filling requests just at that moment. This is the driver OK command is then translated to the BIHOS user set VRIN enable, for example, and I will talk about that later. So this message in particular tells the device, well, we got the driver OK, enable the VIR queues. So from now, you can accept requests. It's saying something like this. But what happened was that this message was asynchronous. So the guest was not getting any, the guest was not waiting to finish. Sorry, the device was not waiting to respond this one. And the guest was just moving to starting to enqueue request. So the situation that we have was that, for example, since this message was asynchronous, we got the notification that some data was in the BIR queue before this one. And then the device say, well, we didn't enable the VRIN. We cannot accept the request. And then the driver hangs, waiting for that. And the fix was just to figure out that the message was asynchronous and just make it synchronous. So we stop here the driver to move. We got some, we know that the driver OK command was successful, and then we start to enqueue. And that was the fix at the end. Ah, thank you. So again, this is a violation of the specification. And if we see again the traces, we can say that this is an invalid trace because we have first the request to the, let's imagine that this is a request to the BIR queue and this is the end, the driver OK command. So this is an invalid trace because this has happened before all this. And this is a valid trace because the request can arrive only if after those commands have been successful. So this is just to figure out what was going on, could we handle it to have the valid trace. Since I haven't observed that there were some traces that they were not conforming the spec, I started to play with two tools to try to figure out from these implementations when we have something in the implementation that is violating the spec. So I started to play with Canny, and then another tool called Tracing Formal, which is Canny is a tool that has been made by Amazon, and it is currently used in Firecracker. So what I started to do in the last 6 months, more or less, is try to see what they have been doing. So they have their implementation of VIRTIO. I'm moving that to the Rust BMM crate. And so I'm going to talk about this tool now. And I have to know that I'm still not super familiar with the tool, so I'm still learning. And so I have also many questions. The second tool, which is Tracing Formal, is to instrument traces in the code, but not only instrumenting the traces, but also telling when these traces has to happen. So we don't have only trace points. I'm going to show that later, but since I have 10 minutes, I'm talking more. But not only the trace points, but also how these trace points have to happen. So first, I would like to talk about Canny, and then I will talk about trace point, about trace informal. So in Canny, what we specify together with the implementation is a proof. In this particular, this is an example in which I try to write a proof of the notification suppression mechanism that is already in the specification. So I take the specification and I try to write this proof, and then what I'm trying to test is our implementation of BIRQs. And something what I highlighted in the code, this is a draft anyway, but what I highlighted in the code that is different to unit testing, what you do is you use the canny any type to say, I will feed my proof with any potential value of my BIRQ. So the idea is that you check for all the possible instance of a BIRQ, let's say. And then if the proof passes, you are sure that no value exists that will violate the specification. And if you want to see more about this, I create a PR to the BMBIRQ.io project in which I add in this proof to the code. So if you want to see the discussion there, feel free. It's still a draft because I'm missing some stuff, but yeah, it's ongoing work. Something interesting that I found was, well, maybe it is not interesting, but it was for me, at least, if you see the implementation of the NEAT notification method, we will find something like this in the code. And at some point, you may be tempted to try to simplify the expression to something like this, for example, which is wrong. By using canny, you can quickly spot this problem, and then canny is going to tell you exactly what is the unit test that is going to fail for that case. So it's quite interesting. It takes some time sometimes, but it's interesting too. And the second tool that I want to mention, which I try to use also for chat conformancy, is the tracing formal, which is completely different. It's something that I made myself, relying on the trace instrumentation that Rust has. So, for example, remember that I was talking about this set burin enable and handle event bug in the BHOS crate. Well, if I want to spot when this violation happened, I can first, for example, set some event in the definition of the functions. So you use event here. For example, I say, well, here is the set burin enabled. I set up event type. And here I change the name for sure. I can also not only set up this sort of event, but I can do it in the, I didn't need that slide, but you can also use instrument here, and the event is going to be triggered each time the function is called. So you don't need to put this event manually. You can do it systematically in each definition of the function, for example. So once you set up this, then you have to tell the tracer which sequence is going to trigger a warning, right? So what you do is you do something like this. Well, here it maybe becomes a bit tricky, let's say. You could use, for example, a state machine and say, well, some occurrence of these two events are going to trigger a warning or something like this. I use another formalist for that. The thing I want to say here is that together with the instantiation of the tracer, you feed it with the relationship between the events. So here, for example, you have the alternate vector, which is going here when you instantiate the tracer. So you have the tracer, and you have also together a specification that tells you when this event can happen. This relationship between the two events is something that comes from the specification. The specification is telling us when that could happen. And then what happens is when this executes, if, for example, the handle event happened before the set burin enable, this is going to trigger a warning in the execution. So maybe at that point we can think, okay, maybe there is something wrong. I think that's all from my side. I don't know if you have any questions. This is still an experimental work, and I'm working on the PR too, so yeah. It's not really clear for me yet if the tracing formal is going to be useful. I mean, it's fine, interesting to play with, but then if it is useful, another thing. But yeah, I don't know if you have any questions. Yes, I mean, the question was if I have another example in which I use the tracing formal, which seems useful. No, I don't. I'm having playing with something similar, but it is in the kernel. I don't know if you heard about that. It is called the runtime observator or runtime verificator, something that they already are in upstreaming in the kernel, and people that are doing more or less the same with the state machine, but in the kernel. Well, maybe you know Daniel has been working on that, but yeah, you can check that also. I think there are other examples there.
Have you also, by any chance, already found any bugs in the WordEarl specification itself?
The question was if I already found any bug in the specification itself. That was the question, right? Well, I am reviewing the spec. For example, I have been reviewing Virtio CAN device. I don't know if it was a bug, but what you find is that what the author wants to say is not what the people implement, for example. So, I mean, the fact that it is in English and it's not always a precise language makes that there is not a bug, but it's not even precise too. So, I don't know. But not that I cannot remember now a precise bug now. But this is something related, I would say. Yeah.
Thank you, Matthias.
Thank you.